Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit being with us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Sometimes we just forget it. And we just miss the boat. We need the Lord to hear from you. So we ask you to remind us that you are always there for us, that you want to minister life to us. And the Lord, as we listen and open ourselves up to you and we trust that you are there and that you are willing to minister to us, Lord, we receive all the time. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Teach us, help us, strengthen us, empower us, and show us, Lord, how to do things the way you did them, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I've been talking about, the last hours that Jesus taught to the disciples and how he condensed and put all those key elements of his teaching together for us to just not forget these things. Okay. And one of the things that he emphasized, is directed us, okay, to operate in agape love. And it's not, often misunderstood, because people think that, it's what is actually not. You see, in John 15, we talked about last week, I want to connect with there, because such an important topic, such an important logos to remember and to go by, okay? Says, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. And the love there all the time, it talks about love, there is always agape, which really is God's kind of love. It's nothing to do with the love that we interpret in this world. It's very different, and unless we change our ideas, we are not going to even be connecting with God properly. Okay. Really, that love involves a commitment, evaluating somebody or somebody, caring for, really has to do with our value system more than anything else. It's not a question of feelings, although produces feeling. And the feeling is the way it's explaining there. If you keep my commandment and you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So the idea is, do what I'm telling you to do. Follow my instruction. Follow my way of looking at things, doing things. Okay? And it goes on and says, the result of that, in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be full, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. See, the feeling comes after. When we do the things that we should be doing, when we have the right values that we should have, and we respond to that in our life, as we are integrating those values into our belief system, that means, we have priorities in the right place. Automatically, we are going to do this, and one of the things is really, when those values means, we are actually loving the way God wants, because there are two loves that, really boils down to. First commandment, love God. Second commandment, love others like you love yourself. All the other laws and stuff like that are taken care of automatically. But when we operate that means, that our priorities are directed in this way. And when that, that your joy may be full. That's the only thing that is going to produce joy in us. Joy is the same thing as love. You know, you can look for love and never get it. You can look for joy and never get it. The only way for looking and receiving both love and joy is do what he said. Obey his commandment. And allow, you know, his value system, the way he considered things, the way his priorities become our priorities, and we're going to experience even joy. Sometimes that's very difficult because we are so caught up in other things. That's why I wanted to repeat it to you, because I really think it's so important to understand. Now, okay, love, joy are experienced and manifested when we abide in love, abide in God's love. That means love, God, love, God is our priority. And right there, after ourselves and others. Praise the Lord. And he concludes with, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And this is really, you know, completing what he was saying. Now, I'm not going to go on in all the teaching, because otherwise, yeah, we are going to be spending all many, many days. But I want to continue from chapter 15 to chapter 16. These are the last hours that Jesus did teach. Okay. And in chapter 16, the things he emphasized, the things that he really focused on, was the Holy Spirit. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, thank you. I didn't think about it. Oops. Was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, okay, is the key difference between everything that was happening before and what is happening after Jesus was resurrected. Actually, after he went up with the Father, made everything different, because the way the Holy Spirit functioned was a completely different way. Okay, the Holy Spirit deals with everybody. He deals with everybody in the Old Testament when they weren't saved. And even today, the people that aren't saved, the Holy Spirit tries to work on them, try to minister to them, try to communicate with them. Okay. Nothing different. They weren't saved. What happens now, though, is that if you are born again, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is changed. You are not anymore in the same term, or should be changed. Okay. And that depends on you. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't impose on anybody. This is why many people struggle about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, because they don't let him come in. Because they are afraid, ignorant, or whatever it is, you know, resistant, or often just simply ignorant, because if they understand what it, you know, if they're born again, they shouldn't be able to get it. And so they got the wrong teaching, the wrong ideas. And unfortunately, there is a lot of wrong teaching and wrong ideas around in these days. Okay? That's the way the enemy works, so that God cannot achieve those things that he wants to achieve within you. Anyway, here, Jesus said it very clearly in John 16, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." I mean, if he said, "I tell you the truth," that means it's the truth, wouldn't you say? Because Jesus wasn't going around telling lies. Amen? So we had to listen to what he's saying. He's trying to get across. You know, so when I said, you know, are you following me? The same thing. If I say, I'm following you, that means, you know, I want to make sure that what I was saying, you got it. Now, you know, he says here, it is to your advantage that I go away. Okay? So, you know, lots of people say, well, I would like really to see Jesus now to be in their midst. Well, this is not what Jesus said. So that idea, I remember myself, and that would have been really nice. But it really is the wrong thought, the wrong idea. Because Jesus said, it is better for you that I go than I stick around. And, it, you know, it goes on to say, you know, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I will send him to you. So really, he's saying, you know, my presence with you is not as important as the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. Hello? I mean, you know, the fact that they did this, were he was talking to, in those cases, to the disciples. Okay? The disciples have been living with Jesus for 3 years. I mean, they have connected physically, mentally, emotionally. They were there following him all over the place. And he said, that's not good enough. You're going to, it's your advantage if I leave, because you need something, somebody else, somebody, another helper, somebody that is going to do a job with you better than I can do myself. That seems to me a kind of a big statement, wouldn't you think? I mean, the fact that, why was he saying that? You know, Jesus was limited to one place at all the time at that time. He could deal with just two or three people. Most of the time. So the people of benefit, even them, they weren't there all the time with them. But the Holy Spirit comes inside us and is there all the time. That's the Spirit of God in you all the time if you are born again. Now, you have to receive it even more, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, he's there with you. Something that never happened before except for Jesus. Okay? With him, that's the way it was working. And when you are born again, you are in the same position that he did. But, you know, from a more messed up state. Because that's the things you learned before. Okay? But the idea is simple. That now he's there for a purpose. Okay? And he said, you know, it's the helper. That means he's there to help you. That's a critical concept. You know, we forget that he's there to help you and we try to find solution. Instead of what we had to do is to try to ask him, you know, what is next? You know, Jesus essentially did the same thing. You know, when he said that, well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He operated in the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the way he ministered to people. Okay? And this is the way we should operate. This is the way we are going to be able to do only what we see our Father doing, because he's communicating with us through the Holy Spirit. It's not that he had a vision and see the Father, what the Father was doing. He was getting direction. Okay. Now, I will send him to you. So, continuing verse 12, I still have many things to say to you. You see, after 3 years of personal contact and interaction, that wasn't enough. Okay? Needed more. We all need more. We need lots of more information. And we haven't been with Jesus for 3 years in a personal contact, you know, day to day, like especially some of them. Okay? So we certainly, you know, And the reason why is that is because we just have so much capacity to receive. We cannot receive more than what where we are at. See, as we receive something, we become able to receive more. The more we receive, the more we grow. It's, you know, the more you have, the more you get. That is one of the laws that Jesus presented. You know, this, grow much as much will be given, who little as, even the little that has will be taken away because they're going to make all the wrong decisions. It's not that they wanted to take away, it's because you don't know enough to handle the situation in your life. You still with me? See, we have to understand some of the spiritual principle or laws in operation because that's the way things function, and then we can regulate ourselves in how to optimize our behavior, if we care. So, let me continue here. You know, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So, you know, there are things that you can bear now that you have to be opening up to, but things that you cannot bear, and somebody can tell them to you in this just doesn't register. Okay? Why? Because you have the capacity to understand certain the things that you have enough background to understand now. So you see that, for example, you listen to a teaching, the first time you get something. You listen a second time, you already got a bit before, and you're going to, oh, well, look, I didn't see that before. Why? Because now, you got a bit more information and you can connect the thoughts and the ideas, the logos, much better. And so that's this way. You know, you cannot bear. So we have to get to the place, okay, in which we can make this connection. And, you know, we need a personal connection with God to be able to receive and understand things. You know, it's not other people, including Jesus, communicated things to them, and they just received what they could receive. And to the degree that they were connected enough, and you could receive, understand, you know, and the Holy Spirit could minister to them, they could progress. But no more than that. The same thing is happening for us. The same thing that happens for us is that we, can receive something as maybe we can hear it, we can see it expressed, and we can grasp some of it. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and starts to make the connection on a personal basis with us, then the truth comes out that is not just an idea of somebody. Is the truth that you grasp on that sometimes you cannot express fully in words. The truth cannot be expressed fully in words. It's received by revelation. Because it's more than anything that we can verbalize. There is even, the degree that you hear a truth expressed in word or written in the word. Okay. And you read it. And you don't understand the thing or what's written there. And then you have a bit, your mind start working it out, you start understanding some things. And so you grab it on, and then, you just grab some of the truth that is there. But there is much more that you can see at that particular time. And you can see it after, and you can see more. And you can see more that sometimes you cannot even express it in words. Sometimes you can. And this is what happened. That's why you keep growing spiritually, that is not growing just mentally. See, your spiritual growth is a spiritual development in the spirit, which really have no, words to really fully express it. words are all going to be always limiting God in your mind, because that's where they are coming from. Now, okay, that personal connection with the Holy Spirit, with the Helper, is the key for us to keep growing, because that's what this job is. Verse 13, however, we need the Spirit of truth. That means, you know, he's the one who's going to bring us the truth. What is truth? Well, that's another story. It's what is truth for God, is the way God says it. Okay. Truth has come, he has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, or we spoke of his own ideas, but whoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. So he's going to teach you stuff that you didn't know before. Teach you things to come. It's not just prophecy. It's just, you know, even things that you have to understand, things that you have to grow in, even things that are going to be happening, or whatever, or things that have to be happening to you. Changes that need to be taking place. This is the way it comes. Suddenly, you see it. Suddenly, you have revelation. Suddenly, the veil is removed. And you sometimes cannot even verbalize, but you know that's the direction. Okay. Because why? Because it's your spirit that is coming across that your gate, your heart. And your heart is changing. See, the changing of the heart. Once you are born again, your spirit is in connection with God. All things are of God. But you are not. No matter what you believe. You are only in contact with God to the degree that your heart allows. So you can believe some of the things the Word says, because they are true spiritually, but they are not true physically. You can believe that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, but you can still manifest all the sicknesses that you have in your body. You can believe that you have your mind, you have the mind of Christ, but you have still lots of wrong ideas inside you that need to be overcome. They keep you bound. See, that's what the Bible talks about, you know, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not talking to unbelievers. You are not working out anything because it's not by your power. Your salvation is nothing, you know, what salvation of what? Salvation of your soul. That means it's not your heart anymore. It's not your spirit. Your heart is changing, but it's not completely fixed. And that's what has to be fixed. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals to you all the things, all the adjustment to your heart that has to take place. Hallelujah. And so he's going to speak to you about the things that are coming and that are revealed. And as they are revealed, then at that moment, God is speaking to you and expect you to choose to believe it. To choose to take that position that he showed you. And the moment that choice that you make is the same thing as all the choices that you make according to which, you know, the power of God is released in you in that particular area, and miracles take place. The power breaks the bondage, break the wrong idea, break the things. We take down. This is why, you know, once you have done it, you know, we talked about before, you know, is the time to use God's tools, God weapons to take down the strongholds, the wrong idea, the wrong thinking, the wrong judgment in your heart. Okay. Now, um, one thing I wanted to add here. Okay. Just man teaching, even if it's coming from the fivefold ministry, is not enough. They can be anointed to communicate things according to God's way. They can tell you the truth. But unless the Holy Spirit quickens to you the truth, then it's going to be just mental. You're going to have just mental assent and not the truth. That once you know the truth, then you can start seeking, opening up to it, allowing the Holy Spirit to work it in you and empowering you to break loose. Otherwise, it's just mental information. Doesn't matter how anointed the person is. Jesus was anointed, wasn't he? He told the truth to the Pharisees, did he? What did he do? Many of them, nothing. The ones that actually were ready, were open, they start following him, even at the risk of being rejected by the other. Are you following what I'm saying? We had to acknowledge and be grateful for the Holy Spirit to them, just going my way. You know, be grateful for the Holy Spirit work in us to seek that fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is what makes all the difference in our progression. And you don't have fellowship in the Holy Spirit when you have a meeting, you know, in which everybody jumps up and down and there is too much noise for you to even think. It's not a question of being excited. It's a question of receiving. We had to learn to recognize the Holy Spirit and to connect with him. It's not goosebumps, it's not stuff like that, it's not any manifestation. You know, you can be exposed to all the manifestation you want. And the Holy Spirit may work on somebody. You can be sitting there and, you know, you can hear and the Holy Spirit is working on you and really things are clicking inside. The person next to you hears the same thing. Got absolutely nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. It's just one is open, one wasn't. One was able to connect with the Holy Spirit, the other didn't. That's all. So one got zero, the other one had probably a breakthrough. Or is moving in that direction. If he has enough time to sit down and dwell in it and allow that word, that truth, to work in them. And that means meditating on those topics. See, one thing is even to get the revelation. Another thing is to get the revelation to bring manifestation. You had to give the time, give yourself, your body, a living sacrifice to the Holy Spirit to work in you and to produce the change that that truth should bring about. And when that happens, I'll tell you, the bondage, the stronghold is broken. And there is nothing that can do to get back because you know it, unless you are tempted and you give in to the temptation, you won. Praise the Lord. See? And says, you know what the Holy Spirit is going to do? He will glorify me. That's interesting. You know, there are some words like glorifying and stuff like that that sometimes we just can't connect with it because we think it in funny terms. I think we have to really understand what it means practically. So the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. For he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. See, that's the way you glorify somebody. See, you glorify somebody. If you want to glorify a person, you go, thank you, you did this and that and the other thing. You don't just say, oh, you are a great person. You don't glorify anything there. Because you just say something that is empty words. But you said, oh, yes, you know, you did this to me and this other thing to me and this other, and that you're that doing that, you give glory to that person. When you say the same thing to God, when you start praising Jesus because he carried your sins and you really believe it and you speak it because you know they have been set free from them. And if you repent it, you know that you have been set free from them because they are not even temptation anymore. Hello? See, those things are broken because there is a miracle takes place in you in which changes your heart. When your heart is changed, that area is not a temptation anymore. Okay. Why? Because you agree with God. See, that's as simple as it is. You are in full agreement with God on that topic. And so you act according to your thinking. And that is your thinking is the same thinking as God's thinking. And so what happens is the result, you walk, you are righteous. You are walking with God. And you cannot walk any other way in that particular area. Amen. Are you following me? We are talking about supernatural power that is imparted on us. And this miraculous power is not mind power. You see, this is the power of God working, released in us, in his word, that becomes a reality because we are homologeo. We are confessing his word. We are believing in his word. We are speaking it too. Hallelujah. Glorify what is mine, okay, what is mine. And declare it to you. You know, the world declare it to you, is announce it, you know, make it known, teach it, but you know, by itself, that's not enough. He declares, but you have to receive it. You know, you can know all that, you know, you can have been exposed to the verbal statement about all the truth. And nothing happened to you. If you don't receive it, you don't apply it, and you don't agree with it, and you don't allow to start operating in you, and so receiving in your heart, you take it, you make it that as your judgment. And at the very moment, it's the same thing as when you accept the Lord the first time. Exactly the same thing. It's not words that you say. It's an actual position that takes place that lines up with God's thought. That your thoughts align. You see, confessing your sins is the same thing. When you confess your sin, it's not that you say, oh, you know, I'm sorry I did that. No, your judgment of those things are the same as God's judgment, and you speak it with your heart, and you say, no, I'm going to go according to, you know, God's way, you know, God's, and so, you know, God is Lord in you. In that particular area. Are you following me? See, that one makes all the difference in the things we want to achieve, the things we will achieve. Well, praise the Lord. That was not the teaching I want to do today. This is was the beginning. Okay? I wanted to talk about the way when Jesus started praying for himself. Because we had to learn to pray for ourselves. And Jesus taught us how to pray for ourselves in the New Testament way instead of the Old Testament way, the way most people pray. Let me continue here. Let's see where we get. Okay. Verse 15, John 16, 15. All things that the Father has are mine. So he's saying, I got everything the Father has. That's a big statement. wouldn't you say? I mean, Jesus makes some unbelievable statement about himself that, you know, you say, how can anybody say that? But he did. Okay. Well, he had revelation from him. He had the understanding. He had the connection. Okay. And where these things were revealed to him. Okay. So all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is going to take the things of the Father, the things of God, and inform you. I mean, he will explain, he said, the knowledge of Jesus. He will understand the way Jesus operated. He will understand the way Jesus functioned. You can understand the way, you can get the revelation for that so that you can start doing the same. And it's not because you are trying. It's not because you are making an effort. It's because you know the truth and the process I described before is taking place. Okay? So, you see, but without a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is showing you how he did, not just external thing, not just the exterior, the things that are described even in the Word, but the things that are actually taking place inside you, that took place inside Jesus. Are you following me? See, you're going to understand those things so that you're going to go through the same process, inner process that he went through so that you can overcome, so that you can get the same results that he got. Isn't that exciting? It should be. Should make us jump up and down. That's something to jump up and down about. Okay, let me continue here. So, what is mine, therefore, I said to you, you will take what is mine and declare it to you. Therefore, you now have many sorrow. I have sorrow. You know, he's talking about, in this case, you know, he's talking about the time was there. He was going to be crucified. They were going to have problems. They were going to go through things. So I said, you know, you are going to have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. Now, he's not talking about the second coming here. He's talking about when he came back after he was resurrected and he talked with them for 45 days. Okay, so you are going to have, are going to be able to, you know, rejoice then, and your joy no one can take away from you. See, you can see that the disciples start operating, you know, the joy that they got when Jesus came back and then was filled with the Holy Spirit was contagious, was powerful. They was, even they were killed, they didn't care. Because the joy was powerfully inside them, motivating them, and they knew. And the joy was coming, you know, from what he says after. See, he's talking about after his resurrection, he's going to come back, and you're not going to be feeling sorry anymore. We don't see anybody in you know, in the New Testament, the early church, be there crying about Jesus' death like much of the church did for the following centuries because they didn't understand the thing and they focused themselves on the wrong things. They should have focused themselves on what Jesus achieved. That was the greatest achievement that ever anybody did, and to the point that he was raised above anything, any name that is named. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we have to look at things in the right perspective. Otherwise, we are going to be caught up into wrong thinking, and it's not God thinking. That is finished and is past. Jesus is not on the cross today. Okay, now let me continue here. Okay. And in that day, but the day that's talking about is the time that when I say when he's going to come back after his resurrection, okay? You will ask not me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So what is applying there is applying for us too. I mean, in that day is past. And it was evident, the result was evident at the early church for the people that really believed. I mean, the people that were standing with the truth. And it should be exactly the same today because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is Jesus. So, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He was talking to the disciples then, but he's applying the same thing today for the disciples of Jesus Christ, the one that goes according to his teaching. Okay? Now, time is it. I don't think I start. Better start. Praise the Lord. There's another verse, and I'm going to finish with that and maybe close up a bit, but otherwise, you know, it's no use I start preaching on Jesus' prayer for himself because that's going to take another week. All right? So we close there. It says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So, I mean, you see, the question of obeying him, obeying his commandment, doing the things he told us to do, and ask him, really what we ask the things that he wants us to ask, then this is what's going to produce the joy in us. That's where the joy is going to come up. Not because we are trying to have a good time. Not because we are trying to do the things that make the world think that the world think that they have joy from. It's because whatever we ask, he will give it to us. And we are going to see God's approval, God's direction, God's love, God's power manifested in us. And we are giving him glory. It's not that we are so enjoying just by the fact that we get, because we are not trying to get. We are trying to give him glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, this is a question of shifting our attitude and our position in such a way that lines up with Jesus' attitude. We just do what the Father will was. Okay, we want to do God's will. Whatever we ask when we want to do God's will, you know, we receive because it's something that he already promised to us. We are not going to ask something that he has not promised because it doesn't line up with his will. That's why we need to know the promises. And then the promises in themselves are not what we are after. What we are after is to please him, is to do the things that are pleasing him. And as we do the things that are pleasing him, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the physical need, God knows that we have them. All the other needs that we have, he knows that we have them, and he wants to provide them for us. But we are seeking him. In him, we get everything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I'm going to get everything I need. I don't need to be there wanting. I don't need to be there seeking for stuff. You know, I don't need to last about anything because he gives it to me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's close in prayer together and just verbalize what those ideas that we've been covering up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love and your goodness, for giving us your word and Jesus and making us able to receive the freedom from the bondage of the world, that we can open our heart to you and your word, to be transformed into a new person, a new creature in you, in Christ Jesus, perfect before you, that can follow your way, that is righteous in your presence, not our own righteousness from our own works, but according to what Jesus did. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for the work you're going to do in our life as we open ourselves up to you, to your truth, through your life, through your healing, through your power, through your freedom. Thank you in Jesus' mighty name for what you have done for him and what you will do for us. We open ourselves up, our heart to you. Change us, empower us, quicken us so that we may become like Jesus and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.